New Zealand passport robot tells applicant of Asian descent to open eyes.
Yes. Sir. Blink. Sir.
Open. My eyes are open, sir.
Sir, don't lie to me.
No, I swear my eyes are open, sir.
Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 170. I'm Josias, @ForTheVillain on Twitter, @Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. I'm here with my boy, co-host, and last 2 weeks as a bachelor.
Bachelor, Mem the Beaner here.
What up, G? What's good, man?
Just got flipped off by my wife.
That was awesome, dude.
That was crazy.
She cracks me up, dude. She's dope, man.
So I didn't give her enough time to get the dog out. So she's like, I just got my phone. Flip. And she does the fucking,
nice.
The real flip finger.
Awesome, dude.
Jesus.
How you doing, man? What's good, dude?
Started vacation, so I'm doing good. Just hanging out.
When did you start vacation?
Today.
Oh, good, good.
Been taking my dad to get treatments and stuff, so.
How's he doing? How's
he feeling? Good. He's doing all right. So that's cool. We're doing that for the every day this week and next week.
Right on. Well, I've been working second job Wednesday on up until last night.
Wow.
So I'm a little bit burnt out. But before we get into anything, into the action, I'm going to have to hit some foreplay with you real quick.
Oh, okay. I'm going to get my balls out.
All right. Here you go.
You got me a present already?
Merry Christmas, man. I'm not going to see you Christmas Day.
Your present's on its way. What do we got here, dude?
I don't know. I hope you don't have this one, dude.
What is this? Oh, fucking,
We got you Talons.
Talons, bro.
Of Owls, Great Capullo.
The design set. Series is awesome, this set, dude.
They're dope, dude. Great Capullo. We love his art and that they adapted him into sick-ass fucking figures, dude.
Fuck yeah. Dude, thanks, bro.
Yeah, no problem, man. Merry fucking Christmas, dude. Again, I'm not gonna see. Don't sweat it, man. So yeah, dude, we're going to record next week. It's going to be the 26th, though, and it's going to be the end of the year podcast next week, man.
It is, and my list is short.
Don't worry about it, dude. Side list, and for our listeners, too, if anyone of you guys want to hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, definitely do that. Compile me a list of your 5 top villains.
Ooh, okay.
And you know what? Let's do...
From power or just your favorite?
Okay, let's do this. 5 top villains comic-wise.
Okay.
And 5 villains from a movie.
Oh, that you meant like real life, like Trump. Oh, my God. I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, you're the one who voted for him.
Oh, that's true. I mean, a lot of people vote for him.
Oh, shit. The electoral. Anyways, we're not going to talk about that.
Right.
But, yeah, dude, so your list of 5 villains comic-wise, your favorite top villains, and then listeners as well. 5 villains from movies.
Movies, okay.
And mine are going to be interesting. I have a few curveballs that I'm going to throw out. It'll be a fun podcast next week. I'm going to bring some list of, like, top 10s and stuff like that.
Sweet.
So we're going to have somewhat of a show. Unlike today, I have nothing. So we're done skis, guys.
Fuck.
Okay, do you want to know what we spoke about 100 episodes ago?
Sure.
Okay, episode 70 we hit was called #DoNotPassGo.
Oh, I think I remember this
okay,
one.
Okay, so we hit Twitter Love, shout-outs, Turkey Day News. We hit What the Fuck News, Feel Good article, which I don't... It's rare we hit a Feel Good article. I think I tossed it up because it was Christmas, so...
Right.
This one is Aaron Joseph Promo, Spider-Man, dead at 35. So I think it's the dude who would dress up and go to hospitals for kids.
And he died at 35?
Yeah. I believe it's that guy. It was a long time ago. And that was 2 years ago. So 100 episodes for us is 2 years ago, guys.
Shit.
We have Feel Bad, Idiot of the Week articles. Man assaulted girlfriend at hospital before Biden's security guard. We hit woman allegedly assaulted boyfriend over Monopoly game.
That is
do not pass go.
That game gets violent, bro.
It does, though, right? And the time everyone plays it is for fucking Christmas.
Fuck yeah, the banker always
dude.
Wins, right?
Pretty much, dude, yeah. Woman stabbed boyfriend who ate Thanksgiving meal without her. And then we hit 84-year-old's date with teen twins turns into a nightmare.
Oh.
Yeah, remember
I remember that one, yeah. It's not as, it wasn't as fun as the guy thought.
It wasn't as kinky as he thought once they tied him up with duct tape, yeah. We hit a Kickstarter campaign, Life Hacker by Ovi Dimitrian Jr., and we set the link up for that. We hit Comic Reviews, Superior Iron Man number 2, Edward Scissorhands number 2, Nova number 24, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Ghostbusters number 2, Death of Wolverine, The Logan Legacy number 5, and Amazing X-Men number 13, which was Book of the Week.
Jesus.
That's when we used to read. And then Instagram shoutouts, dude. I have two real quick, which is pretty cool, dude. Well, one of my homeboys at work, dude, Cool Cat, dude, he didn't know. He's into MMA. He knows Sadie.
Oh, okay, cool.
I saw him at a party at Sadie's one day, and it was cool to see him. I didn't know he knew Sadie, so it was cool. He emailed me because he's into MMA, and we're always talking about Gilbert and Gilbert's next fight. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, hey, dude, I forgot to tell you. Saw him a few weeks ago. I'm like, hey, dude, here's my card. Dude, jump on this podcast. Listen to this episode. It's El Nino. We interviewed Gilbert Melendez, you know, mm-hmm. so let me know what you think if you want. He ends up emailing me. He's like, what's up, dog? This is Andres. I ended up checking out that Gilbert Melendez with Sadie podcast and interview. He says, good shit. I didn't know you'd do that. He says, I'm not going to lie. You're really good at it, dude.
Nice, so, you are good at interviews.
Andres
bro.
Cortez, I totally appreciate that, dude, that he listened and he said he was going to subscribe, which was pretty cool.
Cool, man.
He's a co-worker, very cool, appreciate it, man.
Sounds like an MMA guy.
Yeah.
What's up, homie?
Yeah, he's a cool cat, too, dude.
Punch, punch.
Next one's going to be Jester Looks, 13, on Instagram. I had Instagrammed a picture of us finally on Google Play.
Oh, yeah, sweet, sweet.
I normally like putting pictures up and I'm like, you know, just here's another way to find us. This one was funny, dude, because Jester gets back to us and says, so are you saying I can finally hear and download episode number one?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
I think Serge has it.
That. And I do somewhere.
Okay, I think Serge has it on his computer somewhere.
Good, good.
I think.
And if it's gone, I'm kind of hoping it's gone.
Oh, it was horrible.
It was so bad, dude.
Jumping from everywhere to everywhere.
Yeah, dude. Okay, football. Dude, let's go into football talk. Did you catch any games? I had to work yesterday. I caught just my Steelers game, and it was Chris Boswell kicked the shit out of the Bengals by himself.
Dude, he made like six field goals, dude.
It was like, damn. He scored more points than Ben Roethlisberger in a game. That's not supposed to be how you win a football game.
Well, they were playing. But the Bengals brought it, man.
Yes, they did. They did.
So
I did not see any of the games, but what game stood out to you?
I saw the Cowboy game, which was good.
That one was a close game, dude.
Cowboys in Tampa.
20-26, okay.
The Raider game I saw with the Chargers.
Close game, 19-16.
This Rivers just blows sucks.
He does. The high scoring game, Saints 48-41 against the Cardinals.
Oh, okay.
So besides that, everyone's looking interesting on their divisions, dude. Do you want to know the wins and losses from last week? Today, Monday night game, we have Panthers at Redskins. You went Panthers, Sergio and I went Redskins.
Ooh.
Now, off of the wins, trip out on this, okay. Dude. Now, it's your call if you want to do this or not. I want to give him the points. Adam, you won 12 games.
Okay.
I won 13 games.
Fuck, man.
Sergio won 10 games, but he hit us up in the message saying he forgot there was a Saturday game. So he forgot to let us know that he was going for Miami, I believe. We can give him the points.
Which I'm going to give him the points. 11?
Which would give him 11 wins.
That's fine.
Okay.
He's one behind, so that's cool.
I was going to give you since you said yes on giving him the points.
God damn it.
It puts you at 132 points. Puts me at 132 points. It puts Sergio at 132 points.
Oh, that's bullshit. Well, tonight's the game that if I win,
it's the defining game.
Now, and if you guys tie, you don't get a point.
And we're tied. True, but there's still now 2 more weeks of football.
That's true.
So we still have to go for next week's picks, which we will talk about right now. Saw no football. Okay, man.
Christmas Day, too.
Yes, actually, that's what I'm going to talk about, too, real quick. Let's hit that since you mentioned it, dude. So this week, week 16, we're going to have a Thursday game. All the games are going to be played on Saturday.
There's no game Sunday?
There's going to be 2 games on Sunday on Christmas Day. The morning game, the afternoon game, is going to be the Ravens at the Steelers.
Woo!
At 1:30, and the Broncos at the Chiefs at 5:30. So both of those games are going to be fucking good, hard, divisional games. Okay. But first comes first, Thursday, Giants at the Eagles, divisional game, dude.
Giants.
I will back you up. Next one's going to be on Saturday, first of the morning games, 10 o'clock, Falcons at Panthers.
Falcons.
Dolphins at Bills.
Dolphins.
Shit. Redskins at Bears. Redskins.
Jesus.
Jets at Patriots.
Patriots.
Fuck.
Wow.
Chargers at Browns.
Chargers. This is so bad.
Titans at Jaguars.
Titans
for sure, yeah, dude. Vikings. Oh, this one should be a good game, divisional game. Vikings at Packers. Actually, I don't know what to think about this, dude. Vikings got handled straight up, dude.
I don't know, man. When they want to play, they want to play.
And same thing with Packers, though. Like,
Packers are on a streak, though.
But what's his name's hurt, and he's not playing Rogers? That great. Rodgers, dude.
Oof.
Okay.
Oof.
Vikings defense is not holding up anymore.
I'm gonna go
Vikings. Fuck it.
I'm gonna go Packers. Opposite. Packers.
Okay. Next one's gonna be Colts at Raiders.
Raiders.
Buccaneers at Saints. Ooh. They're both playing good ball, divisional game. I believe Buccaneers own their division right now, and the Saints might be right behind.
Saints.
Breeze also can put up numbers.
That's why I picked Saints.
I'll go Buccaneers, dude. They're a solid team. 49ers at Rams.
Oh, this is the ugliest game.
I guess. Almost want to go... I don't know.
I'm going to go Rams.
Fuck me.
Fuck.
I'm going to go Niners.
They only won two games, right? Or one game?
Both won two games. Niners won fucking only one game.
One game, yeah.
So it's going to be their second game.
Jesus.
I'm curious where Sergio goes on that one.
He has to go Niners. He's a big Niner fan.
Next one's going to be another divisional game. Cardinals at Seahawks.
Seahawks.
And Cardinals and the Saints were a close game. Anyways, Bengals at Texans. Texans for me because I need Bengals to lose.
Bengals played against Dallas, I'm going to go
and
Bengals.
And against the Steelers, dude. They played yesterday. You're going to go Bengals?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm cool with that. Ravens at Steelers Sunday, Christmas Day. Steelers, baby.
Ravens. Ravens, like, tough team, dude.
Trust me, I know, man. And it's always scary to play anyone in our division minus the Browns.
Jesus.
Next one's going to be Broncos at Chiefs, the night game for Christmas Day.
Kansas
City for me, too. Sweep on that. And Monday's game is going to be the Lions at the Cowboys.
Cowboys.
All right, wow. Man. I like it, dude. Okay, man. That's all we got for football talk. Do you have anything else to add?
What happened this? We saw an accident on Friday morning. We're going to work. It was raining, and we're down by the block.
Okay.
We're going to work, and I can't really see during the rain, so I'm just driving, and I see, you know, those big, long light popes, those big ones.
Mm.
Just all I saw was fall over.
Bullshit work.
What the fuck?
By the block?
By the block, you know where LA Fitness is?
Yeah.
And that one street that goes straight down.
Was it that windy?
By the freeway. No, it was a fucking car hit it, right?
Oh, fuck. My bad. So, I thought it was a pole. Oh, so he knocked the pole down.
Oh,
my bad. Okay.
So he was in the other lane, I guess, and he went too fast. He lost control. He goes across oncoming traffic, like across the whole
fucking divider?
Divider into the wall.
Holy shit.
And I always see is that giant thing fall. I'm like, what the fuck? It looked like a fucking, like, Michael Bay, like...
You need a movie? Fucking big production, man.
What the fuck? So we get out of the car.
Lens flares.
I get out there running. Are you all right? You all right?
I'll check you out, man.
And there's another girl there, and he's all bleeding from his head. I go, turn off your fucking car, you know, get your key out. Oh, yeah. All right. She goes, I go, you have a phone? She goes, yeah. All right, see you later. That's wonderful. Fuck. So I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm out. I got to go work.
Idiot.
So we bounce. Well, that was my phone broke. I still didn't have a phone.
Oh, fuck, mate. Okay, what?
She looked at me. I go, do you have a phone? I go, I don't have a phone. Do you have a phone? All right, later.
Shut the fuck up.
So we took off. But I drove back and I saw him. Like, I dropped her off. I dropped the cops Margo. There was cops everywhere. No ambulance.
Okay, my
just
bad,
like four
dude.
Cops.
Oh, that's good, dude. All
so
right.
That was crazy. And
yeah, dude.
What else happened? Fucking...
I don't think I did anything exciting this
Lots
weekend.
Of presents for Margo from all the... I don't get shit, dude. I'm the coach, and all I get is a fucking...
That's because your lady's a sweetheart, dude.
Serious. She got tons of gifts. I got this ugly marshmallow bear from this one kid. I'm like, what the fuck? Give me two laps. What the fuck is this? Where's the gift card?
At least he got you something, man.
Where's the gift card? It's not even in this thing.
Only one kid got you something. It's better than no kids getting you anything.
Yeah, it's true. But they were kinder, so it's kind of like a...
A feel sorry gift.
Yeah, like, here you go. I had one left
over. Give it
to
your teacher kid, because
fucking
nobody likes that guy.
Fuckers. Anyways.
Okay, you ready for some what the fuck news? I don't have a lot.
Okay.
We should hit it pretty quick, dude. I have an update on last week's cops article. Mistrial declared in Florida murder for case for hire.
Oh, yeah.
A hung jury has led to a mistrial in the case of a Florida woman accused of hiring a hitman to murder her husband. The jurors were deadlocked 3-3.
So, when that happens,
uh-huh.
Why don't they have seven people?
I don't know. They know shit because right, it's Florida.
It wouldn't be.
I know.
Even.
Yeah, exactly. Agree.
What the fuck?
Now, this one is what the fuck news. I don't know if I want to hear it. This is just a headline, and I would jump the fuck
this
out.
This guy looks weird.
New Zealand passport robot tells applicant of Asian descent to open eyes.
Oh, yes. Sir. blink. Sir,
I, open. My eyes are open, sir.
Sir, don't lie to me.
No, I swear my eyes are open, sir.
Damn.
That's fucked up. So facial recognition does not, in New Zealand, does not recognize homeboy. Okay, now let's hit the next one, dude. I thought the topic or headline was enough for that one.
That was awesome.
Next one's going to be police. Boyfriend cut in birthday fight over hair and nails. Got this off of the Associated Press, December 15th. It came out. Fort Myers, Florida. Speaking of Florida, authorities arrest a Florida woman. They say cut her boyfriend because he wouldn't pay for her to have her hair and nails done for her birthday. Wow. Fort Myers police say a 32-year-old Crystal Garland was upset and grabbed a knife as they argued. Police say her boyfriend cut his wrist trying to take the knife away. The News Press reports he declined medical treatment. Garland had a different story for the police. She says there was an argument outside the home with a relative and that her boyfriend tried to break up the fight, then locked the house and left. Garland said he cut his hand later trying to climb through a broken window.
Interesting.
Bitch.
So, I want my hair done.
Yeah.
And my nails.
Yeah.
Or
pay for this shit.
Or I'm gonna stab you.
That's exactly
what happened. Wow. What happened just to give head and here's your money? Here you go.
Birthday sex, right?
Birthday sex.
Although for my lady, whenever I had a girlfriend, dude, I'd always be like, you know what? Here's my debit card. Go fucking
doll yourself up. That's dangerous, bro. That's dangerous. Here's my debit card.
Well, I mean, unless I had cash on it.
I guess. All right. All right.
Here's $40.
Here's $10. Find it. Find a way.
Find a way.
All right. And find a way home.
There you go, dude. Next one's going to be a state trooper pulled over women for women. Well, I'm sorry. State trooper pulled over women to ask them out. Fuck me. I don't know why I struggle with that. I want this guy's job.
That's a lie. That's allowed, right?
Apparently not. Hey, this happened in New Jersey. New Jersey state troopers accused of trying to cover up that he pulled over women during traffic stop just to ask them out on dates.
Oh, yes.
And that's it. That's all we got for that article,
really. I see you're riding your bike. What did I do wrong?
Pretty much, man. Okay, I have two quick articles. It's at the end of the year, dude. So we'll save the Christmas ones for last, dude. I have the 5 biggest regrets people have before they die.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's gonna be a quick, just one pager. With all the distraction that life provides, it can be easy to let the things that matter fade into the background. While never pleasant, death has the uncanny ability to peel back the layers and get to the heart of what matters. Being aware of death throughout your life can add some perspective to a day, month, or year that seems riddled with tasks and to-do lists. You may have to pick up the kids, make dinner, shop for groceries, and prepare a work presentation. But what really matters may be that you picked up the phone and called your partners, or shared a nice bedtime routine with your kids. And here are the 5 things that you people will regret. Number 1, not being true to yourself.
Okay.
The biggest regret that wears patients express that they had lacked the courage to live a life that felt true to themselves. By focusing too much on what your parents, coworkers, or peers expect of you, you may be keeping yourself from reaching your full potential, leaving dreams unfulfilled and unattainable. By the time most people realize the value of listening to your heart, it's often too late. How do you feel about that? Do you feel you are true to yourself?
I mean, I always wondered I'd be an astronaut, so.
Awesome. I don't think that would have happened.
I think I'm doing what I want to do. I think I want to...
An asshole coach.
Asshole coach, teaching kids how to do push-ups. Not by my example, by the best kid that can do them. But I don't think I'm wasting life. I don't know.
I don't think so. I am either. I think I'm totally
Putting people out of houses.
Yeah, I do that. And then fucking serving people lattes on the side and beer, getting them fucked up.
What do you feel?
As far as in life in general, as a person, the person I am now, the heartbreaks I've had, the relationships I've had, the people I've met, the people I have in my life now are the people I care about. My friends, you, Pablo, Val, Bobby. You know, my best friends that I know I can count on for anything. Yeah, would I fuck you guys over? Would I fuck my family over? No. I know I'm an asshole. I'm harsh sometimes, but I'm fair.
Right.
But am I true to myself?
He's an asshole to everyone.
I'm completely fair, true to myself. There you go. Number 2, working too hard. Ouch. Okay, Ware reports that every male patient she nursed mentioned this regret. They said they were sad to have missed their children's youth, I'm not married or have kids, and their partner's companionship, again, not married. By constantly focusing on work, family often takes a back seat. That one I will interrupt right there. Yeah, I don't see enough of my family, my friends. So that is my regret. I do work too much.
And go ahead. I don't think I work too much. I see.
Making kids run laps. You don't work much
at all. I don't know, man. It's just like the family thing. I could be going to more family functions.
True. Okay.
Good point. I chewed my mom out the other day because she wanted to invite all of my aunts. And I said, no, we can't invite all the aunts.
I don't want to see everyone, Mom. I don't want,
just not even Grandma. Told her to stay home. Holy shit. So I kind of got a little upset because we got a haul because the principal principal hooked us up.
Okay.
And
for your wedding next week, reception.
Yes. It's just a dinner. But then she's like, oh, there's plenty of fucking room now. We can invite everybody. I'm like, whoa.
Don't want everyone there.
I go, Mom, you need to listen. And then I'm hearing my dad in the background. Give me the phone. Stop. It's his wedding. Give me my
dad. Oh, cool, dude.
She's not going to find anybody. Click.
Thanks, your dad. I love your dad, dude. Notable moments are missed that can never be taken back. One study reports that spending too much time at work is the biggest regret parents have about their children's early years. I don't have kids, so I don't have any words about that right now. The study found that more than 3/4 of parents have at least one thing that they regret doing or not doing. Next one's going to be number 3, the courage to express your feelings. Let's stop there. Do you have the courage to express your feelings? Like, in whatever sense that means.
Like on the show?
Both. Let's say in general, dude. Because I think this one is an in general question. The courage to express your feelings.
I express my feelings to Margo all the time. Good. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I don't feel good.
Okay, touche. You got me there.
But no, I think I'm pretty straight. If you ask me something, I'll...
I agree. I agree with you on that. And for me, I'm completely... Yeah, I can definitely, I have the courage to express my feelings telling you, you're a fucking idiot. Those shoes are, or whatever
those
it might
Dan,
be.
Those Down Syndrome shoes look so bad.
Take them off, Adam. Yeah, dude, I totally have the balls to say whatever. I mean, I'm candid as fuck. I say whatever comes to mind. I don't have a filter. Mm-hmm. That could be a bad thing sometimes, because sometimes I have a nephew and niece with me, and I'll spit it straight still.
I think I...
And I'm really stern with them, too.
I've had to get a filter since I've been in a relationship.
Yeah, okay. Which makes sense.
In the beginning, there was no filter, and it was bad. And then you get to that age where you're like, you know what? I really don't give a fuck what they think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm old enough now that where I don't have to kiss ass.
Exactly.
But you still need to be...
Oh, yeah, respectful, of course, for people. So. Definitely, dude. And this one says, how many times have you buried your feelings deep inside or kept your mouth shut when something upsets you? There you go. Do you bury your feelings? Or do you keep your mouth shut when something upsets you?
I guess choose your battle. So I guess choose a time to...
Every battle's a battle for me.
Choose when to fight over it.
True, I guess that's a great point. Or let it out. Yeah, agreed, okay. Many people suppress their feelings as a way to keep peace with others, but by doing this, you actually keep the resentment, anger, and bitterness inside you, poisoning your reactions towards others and yourself. It takes courage and self-assurance to express your feelings in an honest manner, but by dealing with difficult issues head-on, you can live a fuller life devoid of regret. So there you go.
Okay.
All right. That's me, dude. Number 4, distance between old friends. I'm at fault on this one. I don't get to see Pablo anymore, Bobby, Val. You only see you once a week. We spoke about
maybe
that.
Maybe twice a week, but mostly once a week.
Yeah. It can be far. And how do you feel about that distance between your friends?
I'm okay. I mean, I see you once a week, which is cool. More would be better. Val would be better. Surge
would be dope.
Would be cool. Would be,
Fuck Sadie, the wrestlers. Yeah, dude.
Sadie. It's just busy. And you know what? It's not even... Well, with me, it's not too busy. You, I understand, because you have 2 jobs. But with me, I think maybe just, do I really want to go over there and hang out? Or do I want to make the effort?
I feel you, dude.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Totally do. It can be far too easy to let old friends slip away as you find yourself consumed by the busyness of life. Mm-hmm. Those on their deathbed were able to understand the significant value of old friends and special friendships, and often tried to reconnect with those they had let slip away. The time you're on your deathbed is kind of too late. That sucks. Mm-hmm. Make sure to carve out time to reconnect with those you love, as true friendships are rare and valuable.
It's true, man. That's, I totally, back that's that up, totally back that up.
Number 5, loss of happiness. Don't know what that means.
Marriage.
With so many things to worry over and stress out about, we discovered that many people allowed pure happiness to slip away. Most people don't realize that happiness is a choice you make every day. She found that people were fearful of change and found themselves pretending to others and themselves that they were content when they really wanted to let go and find true happiness. I guess that's true. I mean, I wasn't happy with the last ex, and so it had to end, and honestly, that weight was fucking lifted off my shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
less stressful, dude.
It's not pulling you down.
One less thing to worry about.
You're going to breathe.
Yeah, fuck me, dude, yeah.
So, I mean, that's good. You lost that.
Yeah, yeah.
Not distraction, but that
boy. I'm able to focus on myself. Granted, I don't have any time to run anymore, but besides that, that's just a small gripe. And then I have 25 real quick things, 25 bizarre and interesting facts about Christmas.
Okay.
Number 25, early illustrations of St. Nicholas make him out to be a stern symbol of discipline rather than the jolly, overweight elf that children know today. Number 24, stop me anytime or if you want to add anything. 24, all letters addressed to Santa in the United States go to Santa Claus, Indiana.
I did not know that.
Number 23, engineers that designed the Voyager space mission planned things out so it would avoid planetary encounters during Thanksgiving and Christmas. Wow, that they mapped that out. That's kind of interesting.
Cool.
Number 22, there was a village in Peru where people settled their previous year's grudges by fist fighting. I've heard about
Fight Club.
Yeah, dude.
Merry Christmas.
Then they start the new year off on a clean slate. I'd be down with that.
Damn.
I'd be down with that.
Would it be like,
hey, you, cousin, we got a fucking issue. We're going to scrap, motherfucker.
So you have like the hands wrapped and you dip them in in glass and fucking
I'm down.
Blades.
Sign me up. Number 21. Telling ghost stories is an old Christmas Eve tradition that has died out in the past century.
Oh,
Never knew that was a thing.
That would be cool.
I think so.
I had a weird dream. I'll tell you later.
Cool. Number 20. Do you want to go now? We're on 20. Go for it.
Yeah, so we got this salt light you can see across. Have you heard of those things?
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to...
Where is it?
It's that fucking rock that looks like an alien egg.
It's supposed to like wear off or warn off evil spirits or some shit like that. Negative energy?
The first night, I had a nightmare. And
it induces nightmares?
Awesome. It induces me, dude. I'm sleeping. And Margo leaves the room. Oh, I have to go get something. And then I start hearing a chant. It's in Spanish.
What?
I don't know what the words... I know the last one is nada. So it goes something, something, nada. Something,
you don't remember nada. The...
Nada. Something, something, nada. Mm-hmm. And then it kept going. And it started getting louder. Nada. Nada. And then I started like trying to pull out of the bed. And it was pulling me towards that side of the bed.
Really? What side of the bed do you sleep on?
On this side.
Holy shit.
So it's pulling me towards that fucking salt egg.
Strongest ghost ever.
Weird. And I'm screaming. And it gets louder, this fucking chant, dude. And I finally wake up, and I think I was being pushed into that fucking lamp, bro.
You sure wasn't your lady kicking you off the bed?
Mate, she's pulling me towards her or something, dude.
That's nuts, dude.
It was crazy.
Well, you said you have a ghost living here.
Yeah, but I don't think she's Mexican.
Okay, there you go. That's a gnarly fucking dream, though.
Weird, dude.
A good dream, man. Scary dream, actually, dude. Number 20, some zoos accept donated Christmas trees as food for their animals. Didn't know you could do that, but that's kind of cool.
Trees?
Vegetarian animals, right?
Wow.
Vegetarian. Number 19. It is estimated that the song White Christmas by Irving Berlin is the best-selling single in history with over 100 million copies. I guess so. During Christmas in Newfoundland, people call mummers dress up in crude disguises and go from house to house dancing and playing music while the host tries to identify them.
That's weird.
That is weird. Number 17, Paul McCartney earns nearly $500,000 every year from his Christmas song, which many critics regard is his worst song ever.
Wow, just wait for that paycheck.
That's pretty much what he has banked from fucking the Beatles money anyways.
Merry Christmas.
Number 16, a large part of Sweden's population watches Donald Duck cartoons every Christmas Eve since 1960. Wow, that's interesting.
DuckTales coming back.
It is, dude. Number 15, many of the perpetually... open Denny's restaurants were built without locks, which was problematic when they decided to close down for Christmas for the first time in 1988.
Still everything.
All right, guys, we're finally gonna close. How do we lock this thing?
Chains.
Pretty much, right? Number 14, during the Christmas of 2010, the Colombian government covered jungle trees with lights. When FARC guerrillas, terrorists, walked by, the trees lit up and banners asking them to lay down their arms became visible. 331 guerrillas re-entered society, and the campaign won an award for strategic marketing excellence.
Oh, wow.
Wow, dude. That's kind of cool.
Fucking big-ass Christmas stars and Santa Claus there. Yeah, lay him down, bitch.
They got to celebrate, too, right? Number 13, nearly all of the most popular Christmas songs included Winter Wonderland, Chestnuts Roasting, and I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas were written by Jewish people. Okay, odd fact.
Weird.
Number 12, during Christmas of 1914, World War I, a truce was held between Germany and the UK. They decorated their shelters, exchanged gifts across no man's land, and played a game of football between themselves.
No interesting way, dude. Hey, you know, you just shot my friend, but
I'm gonna clip your leg, motherfucker.
Fruitcake. Here you go, my friend.
Pretty much, dude. Yeah. But that, again, very cool.
Wow.
Didn't know that. Number 11. In 1918, for the past 40 years, the Canadian province of Nova Scotia has sent the city of Boston a giant Christmas tree as a thank you for their support after the 1917 Halifax explosion.
Wow.
Interesting. Never knew that. In 1867, a Boston industrialist heard Charles Dickens read A Christmas Carol and was so moved he closed his factory on Christmas Day and gave every one of his employees a turkey. Interesting. Okay. Cool. Between the 16th and 19th centuries, what was known as the Little Ice Age, where global temperatures were several degrees lower than normal, which feels like right now, it is for this reason that many Christmas carols and songs stress a white Christmas.
Okay.
Number 8, Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen is the only record to get the UK Christmas singles chart number one twice. Once in 1975 and again in 1991. Interesting. I had no fucking idea about it. Is that a Christmas song?
I guess.
Even a Rhapsody. Okay. Maybe. I don't know. Number 7, the Nazi Party tried to turn Christmas into a non-religious holiday celebrating the coming of Hitler. With St. Nicholas replaced by Odin, the solstice man, quote unquote, and swastikas on top of Christmas trees.
Get the fuck. Here's a present.
That's not too far off.
Here's a present. Millions of Jews dead.
Oh, jeez. But again, doesn't sound too far off with this thinking, dude.
Fucking weird.
Mythology. Number 6, the U.S. playing card company Bicycle had manufactured a playing card in World War II that when the card was soaked, it would reveal an escape route for the POWs. These cards were Christmas presents for all POWs in Germany. The Nazis were none the wiser. So how is that for a nice fucking nice touch, dude? An artificial Christmas tree would have to be reused for more than 20 years to be quote-unquote greener than buying a fresh-cut tree annually.
Really?
I don't know that, dude. I got fucking
It gets greener and greener every year?
No, as far as like a waste, mm-hmm. it's better to buy a tree than get a plastic tree and, like, I guess not being biodegradable.
Sounds like somebody wants money for trees.
That is also very true. Number 4, we frequently abbreviate Christmas as Xmas because of an ancient tradition. X is the Greek letter for letter chi, which is an abbreviation for the word Christ in Greek.
Well, I know Christians don't like the X because it's Xing Christ out of Christmas. That's what their gripe is.
Number 3, Japanese people traditionally eat KFC for Christmas dinner. Thanks to a successful marketing campaign 40 years ago, KFC is so popular that customers must place their Christmas orders 2 months in advance.
This KFC, dude.
Not even, dude.
Wow.
Number 2, the people of Oslo, Norway donate the Trafalgar Square Christmas tree every year in gratitude to the people of London for their assistance during World War II. And number 1, Christmas purchase account for 1/6 of all retail sales in the U.S. annually. Only 1/6. So that would be 1/6. The other 2/3 probably would be Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I mean, Black Friday, you would think, right?
I would think so.
And then, I don't know. All right. Anyways, that's all I got, man.
Christmas. All right. Go to our website. Speaking of Christmas, nothing spells Christmas without spending money. Spend some money on your kids, your loved ones, your mistresses, whatever it is. Go to our website. You'll see two banners, one orange, one black. The Amazon, if you're buying anything, you should be. We get a little piece of that money to help us out during the show, help us out buying equipment.
And you guys have been doing awesome. And yes. Adam has been hard at work. We have some of it, right?
We do have some of it, but the cables, and we're waiting for the mixer. Hopefully by the new year, we will have a new setup for you all so we can start Skyping and giving you guys more content.
Yeah.
Also, if you're buying stuff, you might as well get shipping free, because if you don't buy stuff now, you're not going to get it before Christmas, so hurry up and buy, and you want that two-day fucking shipping.
Yeah, free. When you guys listen to us, go to thecomicsyndicate.com, jump on the Amazon banner, sign on like you normally would. And Christmas is literally 1 week away next Sunday.
Sunday.
So 6 days away, guys. You guys can still support the show, which we appreciate. So thank you to all of you guys.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys. We'll be right back with Comic Talk.
Comic Talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate. Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Okay, we're back with some comic talk.
What's up, guys? Okay, you started up, man. So you got something going on.
In fucking 1992, I want to say, there was a comic book store down on 17th. You know where...
Holy shit, by Hometown Buffet.
Hometown Buffet. Well, it used to be Toy City.
I used
City.
To go there, dude.
It was Comics Today, it was called.
Toy City. It was Toy City.
Toy City there. And then Comics Today was right there in that slot. And I used to
the first comic book store I ever walked in.
Me too. Awesome, it was nice. Dude. And then I used to collect cards.
Okay.
So I found this at my house, and I collected. I'm pretty sure I got the whole series here. Let me show you.
Oh fuck yes, this is dope, dude.
Of fucking Marvel the Comics cards.
Yes, the first batch, the first series.
First series. There's probably a series before this one, but this is the one I actually collected.
Oh, you're right.
And I collected all these motherfuckers. I think I got all of them.
Oh,
holograms.
I actually have a fucking Beckett, or not a Beckett, dude. Actually, Beckett too. You know what the price is, but I had a binder full of them. Like I was collecting baseball cards and
yes.
I put them in plastics. Dude, nice,
dude. I found this at my house and
dope, man.
I fucking Adam love Rock, collecting
Iron
these,
Fist, dude. You collected these too, dude.
Hell yes. Yeah. So it's I was like, I wonder if it's worth anything, but I'm not gonna sell it. But like,
dude, this is just good for
just for old
nostalgia, dude.
Yeah, dude. I mean,
I love that. And what hologram do you have?
I think a team fighting another team. I think it's Hulk fighting somebody.
Nice, dude.
So I mean, just
this is dope, man. Hell yeah.
A throwback.
Good child.
Fuck, man. I haven't collected cards. I mean, I've collected Magic cards, but that's for playing. Mm-hmm. I don't even. Do they even still make like
comic cards?
Comic card series?
I don't believe so.
Damn.
I really don't know.
But I thought it was cool.
Yeah, no, that's fucking sick, dude. Hell yeah,
sick, dude. That's it. One of the books I'm gonna review. I'll go into the shop that I went into get it. So. Give me any comic
talk. Cool, man. Let's do comic. Well, that's still part of comic talk, dude. It's fucking dope. I haven't seen those cards in ages.
Ever.
Dude. I love it, dude. First one's going to be, dude, Harley Quinn led Gotham City Sirens tap Suicide Squad's David Ayer to direct the movie.
Suicide. You know what? Speaking of Suicide Squad, if you want to see a Suicide Squad movie, you're going to have to go watch fucking Rogue One. All right.
Let's talk about it. Fuck the news.
I got sad news. With your reply.
Oh my god.
I was
like
a little
sad.
Fucking butthurt.
Okay. Fuck everything. This is off the table. Go for it. We both saw it.
Yeah,
what'd you think?
Spoilers?
Dude, there's nothing to spoil. They die.
They all die.
But
we knew they were going to die. But, okay, so I loved it. I cried in this movie a lot.
You are a little pussy.
I am a bitch. I don't care. Even Margot crying. She never cries at movies.
Wow.
And she cried even after the movie.
Really? But you guys are maybe getting married. Maybe that might have something to do with it.
Suicide?
Well, was it suicide? But like,
there was a love story in there, sort of.
Not really.
So he didn't even kiss her. But
true. That's
spoiler. When I see it as when you watch a movie, when you watch Star Wars movies, you see stormtroopers die. You see, big battles, and who gives a fuck, right?
Yeah, go for it. Give your complete thoughts, dude.
In this movie, you get to know these soldiers, these characters. Not Jedis. They don't have the fucking Force. They don't have lightsabers.
Yeah.
They're like the Dirty Dozen. They're going against everything they were told not to go.
And that was the cool part of the movie.
They went anyways. They needed to stop
this. And I like how that's how they were Rogue One. We were told, nope, we're not going to do anything, so we're just going to bitch up. Yes, we're going to bitch up. Fuck you. And it's cool how even Moth Tarkin, she's like kind of smirks like, I'm glad they went out. I'm glad someone's ballsy enough
to do it. And it was
dope, dude. That was good. You definitely felt great.
Every character you get invested in. You don't go into backstory, which is good. You don't get like a whole, this is what happened to this guy. It moved along and you still got invested in with these characters. And when they were picked off one by one, it was just like, fuck, dude.
Okay.
That's fucked up. True. But it had to happen, and each of them sacrificed
themselves. They knew what they were getting into. Now, on top of that, to piggyback that on Feel Good before I bash it.
Oh, my God. There is no bashing.
That whole fact that, yeah, dude, they went out, they knew they were going to die. And Diego Luna's character alone, best character in the movie, his droid is a close second.
That the droid was good.
That you can feel so bad for a droid, and he's just doing his fucking job. But Diego Luna, when he's like, I have nothing to fucking explain to you, bitch. We've all lost fucking shit.
Yeah.
That was the best part. Put her in her fucking place. Do any else, any other motherfuckers have anything else to say? It's like, we all lost something. So when it finally came to that moment where he's like, you know what? This is the crew I put together. We all did some shady shit for the rebels. These guys were like the fucking...
Not even for the rebels, for the greater good.
Yeah, but and these were the wet work crew guys.
Yes.
Like, they were straight up killing people, like, in the beginning. Something
happened. Yeah, they really established shit.
These guys are shady.
That he's gonna do whatever is needed to be done, yeah. And without a second thought.
Which was dope. That's why I love his character. So his character finding that redemption at the end, loved. Her, she was a terrible character. I could give a shit less about her. I'm glad she fucking died.
Oh,
I wish she could have jumped on the giant explosion and saved everyone.
She was terrible. Awesome in this movie.
I need to watch it again.
She was. We have to go watch it.
Okay, true. Okay,
I'll make a mandate on that.
Okay. I'll get us into that one. Okay,
she was great.
Did not care for her.
She was in the whole fucking movie.
I didn't care. I'm glad she died.
Oh, I mean, you gotta have... The acting was good. It wasn't bad.
It wasn't... No, it wasn't bad. It wasn't written bad. It's just a lot of people... And again, like, a lot of people are saying this is better than The Force Awakens.
I believe this is the best Star Wars movies I've ever seen.
Hmm.
Even better than Empire Strikes Back. Okay. Empire Strikes Back, because you know who's gonna win. Even though that movie kind of fucked up, but you know there was no danger. Yeah. Well, you know Luke was gonna die. You know that Han Solo was gonna die. Yeah. You knew... That it's a safety net.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I don't.
Sure.
And this movie was like no holds barred. Everyone here is gonna fucking die. They trap them.
Knew that.
Yes, but the way they died and the way
they got. Again, okay. Look, let me jump back in. Okay. I back you up. Third arc or third act. Sick. Best fucking battle.
The beginning was a little slow.
I don't want to say boring or slow because we need to learn about these characters so we find some semblance, so we care about these guys, which they did. I mean, I like the more planetary jumps than anything. I like how they destroyed a temple or the planet where the Jedi come from. That kind of sucks to see.
The crystals.
Yeah. So I cared about. Donnie Yen's character and his homeboy.
Oh, those guys were like brothers.
Yeah,
dude.
Dope, right?
That was like fucking
dope,
badass.
Dope camaraderie.
When he fucking walks over.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what the fuck? Yeah. And his homeboy is his yelling homeboy at him, like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Loved it. So that was dope, dude.
I started crying on that part. I don't give a fuck. I cry.
I love you, Adam. I'm coming, man. even the droid again was dope, dude. That was a sad moment too. I liked it a lot.
What you thought the Force was better?
I think so.
No fucking way. Even the death scene with Han Solo and his son
was that
was like you
true.
Know, it was
but
like,
I'm glad he died too.
Dee.
I'm glad she died too. I'm glad they both fucking died.
Well, you know, we didn't even get the kiss or anything. He didn't even get a finger.
But again, that's what blows. But the whole redemption factor on his part. Again, I think Diego Luna did great. He was the best. Human? I mean, the droid's a droid. I mean, but the droid made me more sad that he died over her.
Wow.
I mean, you know, like, kill her already. Give me a fucking lightsaber.
Maybe if she died in a different kind of way.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But it makes sense. The gap that it goes right into fucking A New Hope.
Oh,
I really
Darth Vader was
fucking dope, dude.
Fucker.
Yes, dude, loved it.
That part sick. When he walked through
that one, I cried because I wanted to see more killing Vader.
The fear these actors had when Vader was coming in the door,
door. We saw Vader do things he's never done before.
Fucking
well, at one time,
use his lightsaber good.
Well, he's blocking like 1,000 fucking. And then he tosses. It's the Vader scenes are sick. I'm not gonna ruin anything, but Vader does a few things that we haven't seen him do in all these things at one shot.
That one shot was one of the best parts of the movie. And it was just like, what the fuck?
I want more
people
Vader doing
running.
This.
They're running with the ball. They have to fucking You know they're going to get rid of it, but it's kind of at that point.
Yeah. I kind of got worried at the end.
Oh, shit.
They're not going to make it. And we know he was going to make it. And that was the part that got me. I'm like, holy shit, he's going to die. He's going to... Vader's going to kill him. Awesome, do it. I liked it a lot. We got to watch it together, man.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Break tissues, bro.
Out of a scale of 1 to 10, what would you get?
9.5.
Wow.
Seven
for me.
Maybe if he kissed her at the end to
possibly could that solidify that I'm kind of into you.
Well, they were into each other.
Well, we're gonna die, bitch. What else can we do? I mean, granted, I would
beach,
probably.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they got to the beach so fast.
True that.
But
very true. Okay, great movie. I loved it. It was good. I liked it a lot.
All right,
guys. That's our spoiler. All right. That's not even spoiling. We knew they were gonna die, guys. All right.
We knew they got the fucking plans.
Yeah, true that. All right, man. Well, fuck the news. Let's hit some comic reviews. All right, first one I'm gonna hit is going to be Optimus Prime number one. This one I really liked a lot, guys. It's gonna be John Barber is the writer, Kay Zama is the artist, Josh Bertram is the inker. It's really cool. It starts off with Optimus Prime after he has now a few issues back of Transformers. He's annexed Earth and taken it. I don't want to say as his own, but he's brought it into the Cybertronian Council of Worlds. So Cybertronian, I don't want to say different races, but different, factions. Not just Cybertronian, but different. They're called different things. There's like 12 nations. And Optimus Prime takes it into himself and to use Earth. Like, no, we need to protect Earth. You guys want to destroy it. We're Transformers. You know, we can help these people. Everyone's looking down upon him. Even his friends like, dude, fuck Earth. And he's like, no, this is my fucking second home. So now the story goes back into, it jumps back and forth between a young Zeta Prime, I'm sorry, Paxis Orion, or Orion Paxis, which is Optimus Prime, and how even when he was a street cop working for Zeta Prime, the main Autobot at the time, how he's seen like, fuck, the guy who's running us is shady. And even in his cop days back then, he's like, I don't know, man. Cops are getting shot. We're taking over innocent civilians. Like, even doing his job back then, you can see his heart and how he's always carried that. It was really good because it just jumps back and forth. And now we see a small crew of the Council of Worlds working together. So even though he's a prime, other of the other organizations, other factions decide to join him to help him out because they believe like he holds the Matrix for a reason. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's follow him. He can't be all that bad. So even though it jumps back and forth, it's really cool to see how since he annexed Earth, how now each society has to share their technology. So think of it as the United Nations is pretty much okay. What it is between these Cybertronian crew members. And now that Optimus has annexed Earth, Earth is like, so yeah, buddy, how about some of your technology? Like, it's fallen into Earth's hands and they're making weapons out of it, which now it looks makes Optimus Prime look bad. Like, see, bitch, that's why we didn't want to help out Earth, because they're going to use our technology as weapons against us.
Well, it's the American way.
That's exactly what it is. Now, I really liked it, too, because the standpoint from his days as a cop and not being a shady cop, trying to be a good cop, and the things we're seeing in the news that we've seen in the news this whole fucking year.
Okay.
And how it's good to know, even true to this day, not all cops are fucking bad. We see something bad that happens on the news, something that quote-unquote accidentally happens, but that it's not every cop is bad or shit.
Like a Commissioner Gordon.
Totally. Okay. So I really liked it a lot. It's issue number one, and it's an ongoing, so I liked it. That's all cool. I got for that.
I read Spider-Man number 10, Miles Morales, and this issue itself was just a kind of like a recap of Civil War 2, the last one that just happened with him, that he came out a few weeks back. Miles' friends are looking for him. And they find him in tears in a dorm-like room. He retells the events that happened in Washington from the previous... I think we recovered that book.
Yeah.
Two episodes back. But gives his thoughts on what happened and how he felt that went down. So you see like the same pictures.
Yes.
But then you see the bubble of him thinking...
Oh, yeah.
Talking to his buddies. However, it's not towards the end where we really get what Miles is going through. Like... We find out both his father and uncle two men that are very important in his life have been very different, have very different lives back then. Mm-hmm. In their younger years, they had nothing but problems with the law, and this is what is making Miles question himself. Yeah. And could he really kill Captain America because my father and my
uncle... It's in my blood. I can...
Gangsters, yeah. And shit like that. We see a much darker side of where Miles is more... becoming more accepting, becoming the man that his parents are.
Yeah.
So he's having this trouble where, like, you know what?
Maybe I am a bad person.
I went there to see, to prove my dad and parents wrong, that I'm not that kind of man.
And then the guilt he's just got to feel anyways about everything, dude.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the whole book.
And he's, like 14, 15 again? He's not like 16 yet, right? Maybe 16?
Maybe 16.
Maybe 16. Okay.
We'll push it. Pretty good.
Right on, man. Okay, first one I'm going to hit. Ooh. I'll go Descender first. I've been talking about this comic, dude. I love Descender. It's Jeff Lemire. I'm sorry, Descender number 17, an Image Comics title. Jeff Lemire is the writer. Dustin Nguyen's the artist. I love fucking Dustin Nguyen's art, dude. I've mentioned it before. Pretty much a bunch of cyborg kids were made to help people out in their day-to-day lives. You're getting old. Okay, well, here's this cyborg that's going to not turn on you, but help you out with your day-to-day chores, whatever you have to do, old people. And then there was a giant attack by a civilization that attacks different planets. And because this crew that came out was all tech and more cyborg based, all the planets decided, all right, fuck these guys. You know, this is a new technology we haven't seen before. Let's kill all fucking tech, all cyborgs, all AI. They came after us, so they're smarter than we know, so let's go after them. That's how it starts off. There's a little kid named Tim 21, cyborg kid, and so much has happened now. They're stuck on a moon, and he meets Tim 22, which is his brother. But now Tim 22 wants to kill Tim 21. And this comic is awesome because the whole fucking title is really cool because it shows what Tim 21 is going through with Tim 22, his quote-unquote twin, and how... His brother wants to kill him. That's always fucking fun. The next page or panel on each page is going to be Tim 21's human that he was created for. His name is Andy, trying to talk. And he's a harvester now. Harvesters are the guys that go after the cyborgs and wants to kill them. So what happened when he got older, we were still going into. But he has a hatred for any cyborg. Cybernetic beings, probably because he was stuck on the planet or got taken off the planet right before his parents got killed, that maybe he has that resentment towards them. He's trying to talk to his ex-girlfriend that now is more like, she's had her arm burnt up in lava. Thanks, kids, you fucking assholes.
Yes, cross.
And how he's trying to talk her into like joining me again, babe. I miss you. So it's really cool because each page again is what they're going through. And Dr. Kwan and homegirl trying to get off the planet too. And it's almost a silent issue because everyone's going through their own thing. Tim 21's fighting Tim 22, trying to get away. And it's a silent issue. But as you can see, like, Andy and him finally hooking up, reconnecting with his lady. And it's watercolor based, dude. Wow. And I love fucking Dustin Nguyen's art. I know you've mentioned you don't like it before. But it gets silent for a long time. And just the panels, you see what each character is going through and their struggles. Dr. Kwan, again, trying to get off planet where they're being held. And Tim 21 fighting his quote-unquote twin. And then Andy trying to finally make an amends with his ex-girlfriend.
Right.
So really cool how it's all going to interact, and it really ends with literally with Tim 21 holding Tim 22 and like, I did it. I had to. He was coming after me.
Mm-hmm.
I killed him.
Wow.
So now this is a little kid who, Tim 21 is a great character because he's a kid, like a cyborg kid, but he has no kill factor in him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool. It was a great issue. I loved it, and the art's great, dude.
Go for Very
it.
Cool. Let's see. I read a book that... I saw online my buddy Kenny Jacobs. He owns a comic Very cool. book store, and his comic book store, if you're in Southern California, it's a great comic book store. The address is 24741 Alicia Parkway, Site J in Laguna Hills.
Cool. And Nuclear Comics.
We can close that window.
All right, cool. Go for it.
And great comic book store. You guys can find them on Facebook. as Nuclear Comics and Skate Shop. So if you like comic books and you like skates, they have plenty of good stuff.
And it's a skate shop too.
So it's slash.
I've never been there, dude. Fuck me.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I've heard a lot of things about it too.
The book itself is a great book. I guess this Saturday they had a signing. They still have a couple books signed.
Cool.
From this, the author is Joe Harris.
Cool.
And the artist was there to sign. Her name
Megan is Hutchinson.
Yes. The art is great. I like it. It works good with this story. So I'll just go into my review.
Yeah, go for it, dude.
What the story's about. I really didn't know what to think of it once I started. But
the art's pretty cool.
Yeah, as the pages went by, the more I wanted more of this mystery story of rock and roll and dead young women.
Okay.
There's something more deeper in this comic where these bands may have to do with these killings, which I thought in the beginning of the book.
Okay.
The main character who's dealing with some maybe magical what are those cards called?
Tarot cards.
He's trying to figure out how these women are dying. He's looking into solving this.
This guy looks like Jimmy Page, dude.
Yeah. He's looking into solving these unsolved murders.
Okay.
This group, we go into the story of 1974, this group called girl named Becky and her friend. And Becky goes to this concert with her friend. And they go backstage. And during the story, they say she was never found again alive.
Okay.
So the way the writer makes you want to read more, like what the fuck happened.
Awesome.
Is really cool.
Right.
So she goes backstage with the band members and she's never seen again.
Groupie.
Well, she's seen again, but she's seen dead.
Okay, awesome.
And she's found with a symbol on her shoulder with small bites all over her body.
Okay.
This happened in 1974.
Oh, there you go.
Jackie is the name of the main character. The guy finds another body in real time that was posed in the same way Becky was. There's a certain way she was posed. He meets Dorothy, a music writer that's on the same case with this new body. They head over to the coronary to see if they can look at the body and see if what's going on. And the story gets even real darker. Early in the story with Becky and her friend backstage, there's a group of women that warn Becky to be careful of what you walk into. You know, this group of girls.
Mm.
And now they're at the coroner's office in real time, the same group of women that have not aged. So they go in there to pick up the body, or here to take the dead girl's body.
Interesting.
But they move more like shadows.
Yeah.
And you see the shadow part?
Yeah, yeah.
And their faces are kind of like
distorted
with black.
Yeah.
The issue ends with our detectives. I guess it could be detectives hiding underneath the body of the woman, and the group of girls were kind of like dancing with her, but that symbol did appear.
Yeah.
And
that's funny.
It's a lot of what the fuck, but it really pulls you in to this story. It's
very cool.
Okay. It's very cool story.
Several things. Zoso, I'm a big fucking Led Zeppelin fan.
I think this would.
Page.
Yeah.
I've read this book before, Hammer of the Gods, dude.
Oh, have you?
It's good. It deals with there's talk about how they made a pact with the devil. That's why.
So the story goes.
I don't know. I'm curious as fuck about this.
Because
now,
they go into some of the one of the band members, they say that he
fucking did a girl with a shark.
With a shark?
Yeah.
Not the shark.
Okay, because Hammer of the Gods. It's a good book, guys. If you're a Led Zeppelin fan, dude. I mean, I love the band, but it's good. This one sounds awesome. I'm gonna have to borrow and read. Okay,
it, dude.
Dope, dude. You're awesome, man. Okay, we're almost out of time. I'm gonna hit something real quick, dude. It's gonna be Inhumans versus X-Men number one. Love this, dude. Charles Soule and Jeff Lemire are the writers, dude. Lionel Francis Yu is the artist. Gary Alinguin and David Curiel are the inkers. It's a great title. It really starts off with Beast at Scott Summers' grave. So we know now that after everything that's happened, Black Bolt is the one that killed Cyclops.
Damn.
In a showdown and just killed him. Cyclops is gone, and it's Beast visiting the gravesite on Muir Island, and the rest of his old friends. He's working with the Inhumans now, Beast. And so he's paying his respects, and it's really cool how they all see how this team is working now. Like, all the X-Men, fuck me, let me open it up, dude. His old friends are there. Magneto, Forge, fucking Young Beast. It's like, all right, I just want to let you guys know. This is going to be the premise of the story. Beast tells him, we only have two options. The Terrigenesis mist that's out there is killing us. We have two options. We either stay on planet and die, or we go off world and try, you know, we live out in space again.
Mm-hmm.
Magneto's the one who says, you never gave us our fucking third option, dickhead. He's like, Magneto, what are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. If we're going to die, this is our fucking world too. We were all fucking born here. Fuck the Inhumans. We're going to fucking knock on their door.
Nice.
Straight up. And Beast is like, you guys aren't down with Magneto's call, right? It's like, dude, we've been planning this for a long fucking time. So you in or out?
Oh, wow.
Tell Beast straight up, dude. And it's really cool. They go after fucking Black Bolt first. The way they take him out is fucking sick, dude.
Oh, man.
It's good. They use Dazzler to take him out, and it makes sense. Yeah, it's just very cool. They send Emma Frost. She turns diamond. She's like, remember that pact we had that we would talk things out? Yeah, time for that is over. She turns fucking Crystal or diamond. And she's there with fucking Alison Blair, which is Dazzler. Her power is alone, dude. Any sound she makes, she can take in and blast it back out.
Oh, shit.
Black Bolt gets pissed and fucking just yells at her. And she's like, that kind of stings a little bit. Yeah.
Wow.
Fucks him up, dude. And to top things off, diamond form, dude. Emma Frost fucking jabs him in the fucking throat to make sure he can't fucking do anything.
Black Bolt dies?
No, she jabs him in the fucking throat straight up like, okay, now you can't fucking talk or make any sound. So, like, your powers, you're fucked, dude. So it's really cool to see the teamwork aspect and just the X-Men in general. Like, by this point now, they know they're going to die. Beast tells them straight up, we have 2 weeks to fucking live. These are our options. We stay here and die. We fucking go off world and try to survive. And they're like, you know what? No, fuck it. We're going to stay here and we're going to take them down for fucking doing this to us to begin with.
Sweet.
But it's wet works, and the way the X-Men go after them is fucking dope, dude. And again, she jabs him in the fucking throat afterwards, so doesn't kill him, but he just can't say anything. So, yes. And then young Jean Grey going after Karnak, and the way the X-Men, the team, the way they went about, all right, you're best suited to fight those guys.
Who's leading this?
Magneto.
Man.
And that's when, and it's cool too, because there's a scene that I missed earlier where it's like, Magneto fucking said something really pimp, dude. But it's really great, dude. Now, I loved it, and I love the Inhumans, but I also love the X-Men. I grew up on the X-Men, dude. So the thing that happens, his line was fucking dope, dude. He's like, my people will not be gassed to death, which the Terrigenesis is. And Magneto takes more offense to it because he was in the Nazi camps, concentration camps. And he's like, you tell me your solution, McCoy. You always have something in the drama and tell us what we need to do. You weren't listening, Eric. There are no solutions. There are choices, but no solutions. We can leave, all of us. We can leave Earth and find somewhere else to start over, or we can die. I think you missed an option, Beast. It's just Magneto. And again, the teams that are put together to take out the Inhumans is great, because this one, the X-Men just straight up own the Inhumans on every level. They're like, okay, fuck it. And I really enjoyed, first of all, their story writing is great. The art is fucking dope, dude. And I liked it. But I'm going to hate it, too, because at the end, we don't know what's going to happen. Medusa finally knows what's going on. So now, all right, now be on alert, because the X-Men are after us.
Yeah, because now the next act
is going to be the Inhumans attack on the X-Men. I hope nobody dies. Somebody's probably bound to die. But this was Book of the Week, and Descender, even Prime, Optimus Prime was Book of the Week, dude.
We brought up both
Definitely. All right, guys, thanks for listening, dude. That's about show. You guys can find Adam.
You can find me at Man the Beaner on Twitter and Instagram.
You guys can find me at For the Villain on Twitter. You guys can find us at Comic Syndicate 1 on Twitter. You guys can find us me on Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. Hit us up, guys. Send us your list of whatever you guys have. Top 10 songs of the year. Top 10 movies you guys saw of the year. Anything, dude. Any top 5 lists you guys want, send us. Spit it out. And I'll fucking read them on air if you guys hit us up.
Before we go, happy birthday, Loop.
Yes. Happy birthday, Loop.
Happy birthday
to you. Again, hit us up on Amazon, guys. Go to the banner, click on the link, and share the podcast more than anything. The Comic Syndicate, we talk about everything. We're not your typical comic podcast. That's the way we fucking like it. All right, that's all I got, man. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, subscribe.
All righty.
Catch you next week.
Peace out.